Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Take Two Radio. We are pleased to bring you interviews with people in the entertainment and music industry, discussions and recaps of the four remaining daytime soaps, that's The Bold and the Beautiful, The Young and the Restless, General Hospital, and Days of Our Lives, as well as various other shows. For upcoming and previous shows, check take2radio.com, that's with the number 2, and you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and other streaming apps. Follow us on social media at Take Two Radio, and thanks for listening.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Take Two Radio Soaps and Review. I'm David, your fill-in host for Pam, who's been under the weather. And tonight, I have my friend Vincent with me.
Hey, what's up? Good afternoon, everybody.
And Candace is on her way in. I got a message. She's coming.
Okay.
And Anthony is running behind, and he will be in as soon as he can. You know, traffic in Florida can be
oh, awful. Absolutely.
Especially if you're doing paratransit.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Paratransit. Because it can be unpredictable.
That is very true.
So while we wait for Candace, Vinny, why don't you tell us what's cooking on your end of the table?
Oh, just a lot of stuff is going on. I mean, as everybody should know by now, tonight at 10 p.m. is my own podcast, Suds News, brought to you by Suds and Square Circle Media. I will be going about General Hospital. Tomorrow night is Dockside at the Bay at 8 p.m. Next month, we're starting a new podcast called Take Me Down to Studio City, which is going to be all about Sean Kanan's web soap, Studio City, just because, you know what, we want to bring some more eyes to that show, just like we're doing with The Bay. So just a lot going on my side.
How about you, Candace?
Let's see. What is going on with me? Well, we're kicking it into year already. Three seasons, three episodes in, the final season forever and a day. We added Tanya Walker last show, and there's a lot of drama going on. And we may or may not have a murder mystery happening. Maybe not. And in the recent episode, we actually paid homage to Christoph St. John by introducing a new character, Adam St. John, which Adam was the character he played on Generations, and of course St. John. So there you go.
Oh, well, and that's a nice tribute.
Yeah, well, we did, like I was saying, when we came up with the character of Isaac Marshall, you know, we kind of had Christoph's image in our head by creating the character, and Brandon Larkins, who originated the role, he always looked up to him. So he was kind of pulling from Christoph as well as Tony D. Head, who's currently playing Isaac. So we always kind of wanted to, like, honor, you know, with the show, we always do, like, Easter eggs, you know. We have, like, Lucinda and Emma, obviously, you know, so we got that from. You know, so this was our way of, you know, honoring somebody that we truly miss in the genre who brought so much joy to everybody. So that's what we did.
That's very nice. I have to catch up. And I mean, really catch up.
I mean, so much going on. It's like,
it's a lot.
And in last week's episode, we may talk about a certain Springfield with two characters that used to be in Springfield.
Mm. We're all familiar with Springfield.
The best place ever.
Yep. So, Anthony is running behind. Hopefully he's going to join us as soon as he can.
Okay.
And so I had Vinny get started over the weekend. So should we dive into B&B first?
Yeah, let's just go, because there's a lot to talk about, and I can tell we're going to probably spend the majority of the show, sorry folks, talking about the Barnaby.
Probably. Vinny's probably has questions, because, he is very surprised.
Yeah, like I was explaining to David, I kind of got the Cliff Notes version of what's been going on with Bold. I don't have enough time to pay attention to it at this point. But I am very shocked at what I've been reading. So, yeah, I did not see that twist coming. Let me put it that way.
Well, I can tell you it was in the back of my head, but I didn't want to come out and say it because usually I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But not this time.
I'm going to say this. Bold is a lot of things to a lot of people. It's a mess. It's always same old, you know, it's like, oh, God, what did Brad Bell and them do? Like, okay, oh, not this again. Oh, good grief. Like, another cheating scandal, da-da-da, triangle. This is the first time they've done a murder mystery storyline. And when I say that, it's like, okay, yeah, we had a Who Shot Stephanie back in the day, Who Shot Bill, and da-da-da-da. But we never quite had something like this. And it's been a real joy because you literally have to be, it's sort of like the game Clue. You have to be the detective. You have to kind of, you know, figure this all out. And it's so many twists and turns that you gotta keep up and pay close attention to every little detail that's being presented to you, because now you pretty much are going to second guess yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. Because were you doing that too?
Yeah.
David and
I was second-guessing myself. And I was surprised it was, well, I thought we'd be waiting a little while longer, but it came early.
I just say this. This is something I was talking to some of my friends about is, you know, back in the day, back in the way back days, pre-2010, you could do a murder mystery that stretched 6 months to a year, but you have to make it fresh, the writers. You have to keep everybody on pins and needles. You have to really be dedicated to doing the storyline. Sadly, though, because of the time, streaming, and all that stuff, not everybody has that long attention span. We have a short attention span. So we'll be glad we got 6 to 8 weeks on this. Because think about this, with Days of Our Lives, with the Salem Stalker, that stretched a whole couple of months with that.
Yeah.
To this day, Vinny, you might want to look this up on YouTube. The greatest serial killer storyline murder mystery ever done was on Loving. And even though Loving was getting, canned, that the loving murder to this day, and I'm standing on top of my Ernest Phillips Bible, hands down was the best murder mystery I've ever seen.
Wow.
Because they did something that nobody else would do. They came up with different ways of killing people off. Not just
wow.
a normal gun. I'm gonna give you one. I'm gonna give you one example. Okay. One of the characters that was killed by plaster.
Oh my God.
Yup. And to this day, I can't go around plaster. I can't do it. I'm afraid. I cannot go around it. Run away. I mean, it's, and the way that was used, you need to watch it. It oh, man. Damn it. I'm getting my feelings again.
I think I caught that back then, but I'd like to see it again if I can find it.
Go on YouTube, Loving Murders, and broke it all down. And broke it all down. They even did this. Real quick, see, this is how back in the day, folks were so committed to doing these stories that what they did was a special week, okay, after, because it stretched out, like, different weeks, sometimes it'll be one or two, right? But they kept changing the intro. So they would be like, and I'm just going to do this just because I can, like, okay, Stacy was patterned to death, but now she has her loved ones have to figure it out, and don't be surprised if Art is the killer. That is your clue on the loving murders. Figure it out. You literally had to pay attention to that intro. You literally had to watch the show to figure out what the hell were they talking about. Then they did this every time you hear the sound of a clicker. Somebody will die. That is your clue. Literally was doing all that. The following week, they actually did something. They actually was asking the audience, could they spot certain clues? So the whole week, they reran the episode, but it was seen through different eyes. And then the following week, it was starting to continue on to unveil who the killer was. And when I tell you it was a surprise, and this person should have been nominated for a damn Emmy, it was everything. And you know who was one of the writers at the time over there at Loving?
Jane Elliott.
She was a writer?
Yeah.
Wow,
that was
I did not know that.
She was on there, and then she transferred over to the city. But yeah, Jane Elliott is one of the responsible writers for that storyline.
Wow, that's impressive.
I'm sorry, y'all. Okay.
That's okay. So how do you think it compares to what we're seeing on Bold now?
Well, consider that Bold never done it before, and because, again, you have to second-guess yourself, because here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to do the detective work, okay? This is Candace, Matt, Law & Order, KQ Radio. So, dun-dun. Okay. We was introduced to Tom, the bomb, right? He was like,
right.
Okay. He got the bill of goods because he was now working and stuff like that. But keep in mind, he found out stuff about Sheila. And he was going to say something and whatnot. So in that situation, you're thinking, oh, no, Sheila's going to get to him. Because Sheila, you know, is Sheila, right? But she's been very tame. But we always said that Sheila is going to break out of that stage and probably do something, right? Okay. Then you have Poppy Cakes, as I call her. She's all like, yeah, peace and love. Oh, my God, these mentors are great. And it's like, okay. You also have Luna, because here's the thing. From jump, as I'm saying, They reminded me of, I can't think of the movie right now, that has Sigourney Weaver and Jennifer Love Hewitt, where they play the mom and daughter con artist with Ray Liotta. Missy Ray. But I was like, okay. But they kind of...
Heartbreakers.
Thank you, sweetie. But they kind of stirred the wheel a little bit when Luna was sold the innocent party, right? Keep that in mind. But also keep this in mind with Luna. Poppy and Lee didn't want her to work at Force of Creation. Luna was following RJ because RJ is an influencer, allegedly. Okay? So keep that in mind. Okay. So then we got the party, right? I'm going over this, and y'all need to really be listening to how I'm doing this. You had the concert, and then you had the concert, and you had Jack Finnegan.
Yep.
You had Justin. You had Lee. You had all these people that you're like, wait a minute, where y'all been at? Tom Dodd. Okay. You know that Poppy has a secret. So at that point, you're like, okay, Sheila couldn't have done it. Sheila.
No, not this time.
Right, you got Poppy Cake, especially knowing the situation of the situation. And not for nothing, she did deny that Bill was the father. But then you have Luna saying, well, I really need a father figure. This is what I was going through with Zenday and RJ. So Bill stepped up. Right? Y'all remember that scene? Okay. Then you had Jack trying to, you know, Poppy. Poppy's so wonderful. She's so sweet. I would do anything for her. Da 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 da. Then we remember that Poppy lived with Finn and Lee and Jack, and then something happened and Poppy left out. And then Lee has always been disappointed into Poppy. We've got a lot going on right there. Okay. So then, how's y'all? He was a good looking guy. He didn't deserve it. But he found the backpack. But then this is how the twist happened. When he looked up and he was like, oh, hey, it's you. There's only two people that he would have said that to. Deacon and Sheila. But then they tell you that Hope and Luna was friends.
I found that strange at the time.
When I tell you I was writing this down in my freaking detective journal, I was writing it down. So then I'm like, okay, Detective Candace on the case here. What is the connect? What something is going on here? So I was like, all right. Then you find out it's the same type of poison that was in Tom's system that was in Hollis' system. That means this is a medical situation. Who works in the medical field that could come up with a drug that can go undetected by case and go into your bloodstream? Lee. But then you guys think, why would Lee do it? Right? But she also said that she would protect Luna. Okay. All right. So we got a case here. We got something cooking here, right? All right. Lee, I hope I'm answering some of your questions that you didn't ask.
You are. Because I'm kind of listening to you and kind of going through my notes at the same time, and it's filling in the few of the gaps.
Okay, so we have the fact that Poppy had denied that Bill was the father. But then we get a DNA test. And you know what they said? Because the DNA test turns out I'm 100% right that something was up. You like how I did that answer? But then it's like, wait a minute. They didn't believe it at first, especially Bill. However, Lee was very convincing. But then I said, wait a minute, that test isn't right. I said, something going on. Lee could act, but we would need flashbacks. This is why we say flashbacks is too important, right? Okay, can we take a look at Luna? you know, for somebody who was like, ooh, she got real comfortable real quick. Daddy, my daddy, I like living here. Poppy's all like, we're gonna adjust to this new lifestyle. We're Bill's family now. Da 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 da. Which Zena connected. But then something happened. You're probably like, what's going on here? You got Poppy being surprised about that book bag. And I was like, oh yeah, she got set up. She got set up. Because yep. Then when they did the flashback about her and Tom, I'm like, you know what? Hold up. But then again, I was like, Poppy, choice, center of the Spencer family wealth versus folklore Tom. Who would I rather have to be my baby daddy?
Tom. Even though Tom was rich, Bill was richer. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting because now we're about money again. But then I was like, wait a minute. Poppy did seem taken back a little bit. So somebody had to set her up, which is true. So then it went down to Lee, Jack, and I've always said this. She was my number four, Luna, a.k.a. Luna Tick. Because the thing is with Luna, well, let me get to Lee. Lee is the family gatekeeper. She comes from a traditional background. Poppy, she's always said Poppy was the wild girl. Poppy was allowed to do this. But at the same time, she also couldn't stand Jack because, well, duh, because of Finn, right? Because, you know, Jack adopted his own biological child. I'm just saying. So we know that Lee has something regarding that. So could she have done this? Could she have set up her sister? Could she have rigged the DNA? Because remember, she owes Bill for saving her life when Sheila cut her off on the internet and put her in the water. So it's like, okay, Lee is that person. She's honorable. She's loyal. But at the same time, was she going to kill? Would she risk her job to kill? Now, we know she wants to protect Luna. That's true. She loves her son. So it's like, wait a minute. Then you got Jack, and yeah, we just got Ted King there. Okay. But then you got Luna, Miss Innocent Sunflower. Mm-hmm. But like I always say, it's always the innocent sunflowers that does the dirty stuff. So then you got
Allie.
Huh?
Allie.
The thing is that, okay, Luna, again, she was stalking RJ. I don't care how anybody twists it. She did not listen to her mother or her aunt regarding force to creation. Okay. She freaked out about Zenday and RJ. Again, we, the audience, was like, Zenday took advantage of her. But could it have been because she'd been playing that part because nobody would believe her little dirty deeds and probably get knocked up so she can get some money? Okay.
So she basically planted herself in Forrester Creations in order to get with RJ.
Uh-huh. Like, she was going to work
basically.
There. Yeah. Like, she wanted to be close by. But then, come on, follow me now. Then you have her being mad at Poppy because of those myths. Now, clearly, I'm going to be honest, I think that's what kind of also ticked her off, is that her mother deceived her like that. Now, when she found out certain things, she's been, like, kind of not feeling her mama at all. Then we get to the second DNA test, which I don't think Luna was expecting, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that truth came out, you see how quick she locked lips with Bill?
Yeah.
She wanted him to be the daddy, all right.
Sugar daddy.
Right.
Now, let me just add one thing to your layers there, because you are spot on. But don't forget, early on, she was very interested in the Brooke Logan story and who Brooke was and how and who Brooke, you know, was with, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, there's always been, there's always been this kind of like, you know, it's one of those dresses where as the woman walks, it's silver. Now it's like purplish. Now it's like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, she's that character that you can bring her, you can swing her straight into the crazy lane. You can string her into there's something, one thing left that we haven't found out yet that's driving her motivations. Or she actually is the innocent sunflower that, you know, the choices she makes, she does them for one reason, but they end up opening up all these other, you know, stuff and mess, et cetera, et cetera. But that possibility in my mind, I'm sorry, is completely gone by the fact that Daddy went into, hell, you know, hi, Daddy, to hello, Daddy. You know, the Luna, the Luna shimmering in and out of innocence. No, that one's gone. But I want to say a name and I want to see what Candace reacts back with. Everything you just said, Deacon. You have any kind of feeling?
Here's the thing. I would have said Deacon because of the Sheila connection. But they've gone so far from Deacon that I can't say Deacon. Because again, when it was just Tom, right? I was like, okay.
Yeah.
When they put Hollis in the mix, I'm like, okay, the book bag makes no sense. Unless you're going to tell me that Deacon was the father of Luna. But that wouldn't have made sense either.
But, you know, again, bold is not one to jump off the cliff, but they could make it work that Deacon is the father.
No, because here's the thing. I think with it, they made sure to tell us that Poppy lived with Finn and them, right? Okay.
Yeah.
From jump, I've said this, from jump, I said, Bill was never that girl's father. You ain't gonna tell me that, Donahue. We miss you, Phil. But the thing is that once you said Tom, and I was like, oh, hell, this is going to be even better. Because we've seen what kind of person Poppy is. We know that she, you know, dibble dabbles in the mist. So then I was like, okay. And then when I see, then I kept saying, you know, how they was like saying how Finn was and all that stuff. I'm like, so Poppy and Jack slept together and Luna is his. But here's the thing. That creates why Lee is so gung-ho about this.
Yes. Yes. I'm on that train way more. Yeah.
That's why I said, like, at first I was like, okay, is it going to be heartbreakers that Luna and Poppy were working together?
I always thought that was too easy. Yeah.
I thought that was too easy, but then I was like, wait a minute, Luna is working with somebody, though. First and foremost, Lisa, girl, if you don't get an Emmy nomination, I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So, like, she went from to, I'm a bitch. I'm here for it. But you're going to, like, again, I like the fact that when you put two and two together, right, and everything was still, like, before the reveal came out, it was like, wait a minute, what's the connect? Same drug in both Tom and Hollis. Hollis knew who was there. We found out Luna and Hope was there. Now, we know Hope is a lot of things, but then you had Luna. Luna was sort of the circle. She was the middle piece of all of this. It's like Tom, Poppy, Lee, Jack, all that jazz. And I'm like, okay, somebody had to do it. But when that kiss happened, when she had that creepy smile, I was like, oh, my.
Oh, no.
I said,
all right.
Yo, let's go. I was like, let's go.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to jump in here and do, you know, the public service announcement for a moment. to the writing staff of The Bold and the Beautiful, please pay attention. We absolutely loved the journey that you took us on with Allie a couple of years ago. To a certain point, and then lots of us started ripping hairs out. This girl is a great actress. You got the player again for a second time. Take us on the journey. I'm ready to go. Don't hold back and don't go off the freaky crazy scale. Let the slow burn crazy. Let the slow burn machinations. You know, let us see a couple more of those smiles and you know, play with this because the girl is delivering. First off, thank you.
She is.
Don't mess up. Please don't mess up. This is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm doing like this literally when I'm watching the show. I'm like, whee! Like it's a roller coaster because it's like now we, you know, the girl admitted, but even like she put her mom, yo, she got her mom out the way by putting her in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't think Poppy's 100% innocent. I think there's something obviously with her, but I don't think she did this, right? Like, there's something to the story with her too. But because they made sure to say, I never killed a spider. You know how I was afraid of killing the spider? What makes you think I could kill somebody? I'm like, dang, somebody set her up too.
Candace, remember something. Yes. Remember something. When we got the season breakdown, you know, of what storylines to watch and you know, they dropped the little snippets, then, you know, the foreshadowing was there's an over arc of someone behind all of this.
Uh-huh.
So Poppy's the red herring. Poppy knows something, definitely, but, Poppy's the red herring, and we're going to be very, you know, and the wording said you'll be surprised at who's dangling the puppet strings or manipulate whatever that wording was, but I remember puppet strings. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't think we've seen the last of Poppy, but not in the way most people are thinking right now.
Right. Because here's the thing. So I swear I hate this show, but I love you too, Bo. After, then we have Steffi. And again, folks, the reason that she's in this is because she's RJ's sister. So when she was drinking, this is why Vinny, like all y'all, this is why I said, look at this girl. She's a lunatic. Lisa does her acting with her eyes. Well, huh?
She's Vinny's cousin.
David.
Oh, yeah. Well, cousin, sister. We'll see.
Yeah.
The thing is that with Steffi, she's blabbing. She's all like, I saw you kiss Bill, and I saw this, and da, 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 da. And she's drinking this drink. Here's what Candace was really doing. I'm pretty sure some of you guys were probably feeling the same way I was. Steffi, shut up.
Yes. Thank you.
Like, Steffi, girl. Like, because here's the thing. Luna wasn't talking. Luna was not talking at all. And you had her keep going and 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 going. And Luna was just like, you want any tea?
Yeah, I know.
Do you need any tea? You want something to drink? And
it's hot out there.
I'm like, Steffi, maybe if you stop running your mouth. And I like Steffi. I love Steffi. But I'm like, maybe she stop talking. Maybe you won't be so thirsty or hot. Just a thing. So when she put two and two together, and then Steffi was like going in and out, I was like, Lord, Luna just poisoned this child. I was like, and here we go. When Luna said, Bill needs me. Bill wants me. And I'm like, oh, wait, what the best day ever. So now, wait a minute, I'm just going to put this out there. We have it where Luna confessed to all this. This is full alert for today. You got Steffi in a birdcage. And the apartment that's going to be blown up.
Demolished.
Because, yeah, demolished. But then, because here's the thing. I did say that Luna is working with somebody. Somebody is also working with her. Is it Lee or, wait a minute, get ready. Vinny, get ready. Put this in your book. Get ready. David, Anthony, listeners, listen up. Is it Sheila? And you're going to say, wait a minute, but Sheila didn't do anything. Exactly.
Exactly. Thank you. You know, I don't even mind that you stole my thunder, Candace, because I thought you were going to say it earlier, and then you didn't. And I'm like, okay, as soon as she's done talking, I'm going
to
throw my...
I had to go through it because here's the thing. They're making it look like Lee is covering up for some, like, for Luna, right? But at the same time, and this is bold, you're going to have to do a flashback because of DNA. But here's the thing. This is why I said Sheila. Come with me down this rabbit hole real quick.
Yep,
Sheila
that's coming.
Sheila is wanting to get back at two people. Steffi and Lee. She's been very, keep in mind, everybody believes that she's changed. You know, the
except
world goes around and Sheila Carter has changed. So what do you do to get your point across? How do you do that? You go ahead and work on the weak. Luna's weak. She put two and two and two and two together, and she's going to get Luna to do the dirty work. But also, Luna
I like
has
that.
A kink. But Luna also has an issue with Poppy for denying her quote-unquote financial birthright. Because remember, Luna made sure to say that. My mommy made us, you made us do all this. Y'all made us live like good times. But it's like, yo, this, woo, look, this show, oh my gosh. This show. Chill talking about.
Well,
I
told you guys.
I some of your questions.
Oh, yes, you definitely did.
David, I don't know if you guys remember, but two shows back, I said, you know, we are both, when we're allowed to talk about what's coming up, yada, 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 yada.
Yes, I remember.
What?
Yeah.
That's why
this is what
I have a notebook.
This was it?
This is what I was talking about. So here's my thing. I really agree with what Candace just had to say. I think that they have paid attention to what people have been saying for quite a long time now, and they want to see a return of the Sheila we all know and love to hate. And Sheila has a history of manipulating people. And, you know, being the mastermind spiderist behind the web of situations. So I am very, very, if this is really what it is, I'm so very, very excited. You know, we haven't seen any real Kimba in a while, if you know what I mean. We definitely need, so if that's where they're going, I am so on board. And I do really want to say at this point, both, you got me gripped, so I'm in. Don't get me wrong. But please pick a direction with Hope. We need a little David, help me out here. We need consistent. Pick a direction.
Yeah, go find her a man of her own and follow her heart. But
give her an adventure. Give her a mystery. Give her a career. Give her something.
Give her something. Give her something. Don't give her anybody else's man. Although, and I use this all the I do want to see Hope put her down a little bit because Steffi's been a little high, if you know what I mean. So, just a little bit, but then give her own direction and give her, I don't
well,
know. do something.
I hear you there, and I'm just going to jump back in because I didn't critique Steffi. Steffi has Bill. Steffi has done a lot of stuff. Steffi, honey, girl, just do yourself a favor. When it's all up in your chest and you're ready to like spew, find a mirror real quick, look at it, and think about it for another minute. And that's my way of critiquing Steffi. Sorry, go ahead, David.
No, you said it fine. Give hope some direction. That's what she needs. Right now she's aimless. She's got nowhere to go, and she's like testing everybody.
But she's testing out her own like closet of personalities also,
yeah.
Which is kind of bothering me. Candace?
I mean, here's the thing about Hope. My whole thing is I agree. I feel as though she should allow to clap back at Steffi because it's becoming ridiculous that every time that Steffi says something to Hope, Hope can't clap back the way that she should clap back. And I'm going to need the writers to stop that, put an end to it. And especially when Taylor went after Hope. I'm like, Taylor, for real, like, you can go after Hope like this, but can't go after Brooke like that. Interesting. I do feel as though, behind the scenes stuff, we can't really go into it, but a lot of behind the scenes stuff is kind of making certain decisions where these storylines happen. But with Hope, I'm just like, okay, you tried to take her in this direction. It worked, but only for a certain part of the story. But now you're trying to have her be, I guess, a Brooke 2.0, which doesn't really work. And I'm glad the line was used where it said, this isn't like you. Because literally Hope being, quote-unquote, the seductive person, it's never been that way. And yes, I know she, with her and Liam, when Liam was married to Steffi, but that was a two-party situation. You only got a one-party situation in here. And, yeah, so it's, yeah. Like, Hope, girl, I love you, but we're going to need some, we need to have her come to Jesus moment.
Soon. I almost feel, like I said, it feels like she's trying on personality outfits. And, we need to pick one. All right. I think it is time for us to roll on down to Genoa City.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, go ahead, Candace. Yeah.
Take it, Candace.
I don't want it. I don't want it.
Take notes, Dan.
I don't want it. Can I just park it in the garage and call it a day? No? Okay. All right, let me just rip off this Band-Aid. So continuing the LinkedIn storylines, we got Audra telling Nate what's going on, that Victor's the secret investor. Kyle's over there saying, well, Nate, you don't know anything. And Nate says, you can still talk to me. Audra and Kyle are talking where Kyle is like, you're doing A, B, C, D, F, G. And Audra's like, well, you're trying to make me look bad. And, what's going on with these secret meetings with Victor and stuff? And Jack and Diane found about it. They're trying to underestimate Victor. Jack is trying to figure out to Billy why are you throwing Abbott's name around? People are going to think Jabot Abbott means something completely different. Billy bought Lily's contract out. This is so bad right now. Y'all keep up with me. Because Billy is boo-hooing crying me a river because he wants to be, the big man, even though he hasn't even done the work to even get to this point, whatever. But don't feel bad because his heart was broken, too, when Chelsea finally told the truth about what happened in Baltimore because, everything comes out in Baltimore. Hey, now. And Chelsea's, also dealing with Connor, and she just got a lot going on. And Billy's like, you know what, you need space, you need time, da-da-da-da. So he's all frustrated. Meanwhile, Liar over there, Adam, what's up, Adam, who gave some goods to Jack, he over there still lying to Sally about what happened in Baltimore because, you know, again, apparently he didn't want anything to come out. And on top of that, let's see, I'm getting ready. And on top of that, you know, Victor wants to protect, you know, everybody wants to protect the legacy of Catherine Chancellor because I'd be damned if somebody screws over Chancellor Industries. But anyway, Victor found out through Michael, hey, Christian LeBlanc, that Jill is sick. So Victor tells his number one ace, Michael, because that's what Michael said, his number one and favorite employee, Hoyer, to go and talk to Chance because Billy ain't going to do a darn thing about it. And then on top of that, you got Colin Summer was still talking about the whole situation about Audra and what's that baby's name? Harrison. Because Summer doesn't know that Kyle and Victor are working in cahoots together. At the same time, Summer keeps thinking that Audra and Kyle are sleeping together, not knowing that it's Audra and Nate sleeping together. Then you have Tracy just living her best life right now, even though it's probably the twin, and I really hope it's not the twin. I really hope that she's having a decent guy right now. Let's see what else happened. And, Faith is still kind of being freaked out about Lucy's behavior. We found out Lucy is an alcoholic in a sense because she's drinking everything left and right. Much to the debate about Daniel and Heather. Heather and Daniel are trying to be cool, but at the same time, Heather is kind of on alert. Daniel is trying to talk to Sharon. Nick told Daniel to, like, back it off because Sharon has been having a tough time lately, especially reminiscing about Cassie, plus Sharon is off her meds. She's talking to Cameron. Hey, Lyndon, looking kind of good, though. Cameron is telling her, like, when all of this started, her unraveling mental situation, it started with Cassie's death. Ain't gonna lie, did. And now we have a situation of the situation where we have a little boo-boo called an accident. And that was young enough.
Started what there. Happened the first time, but.
Right. Well, okay. It's kind of, so I'm going to start with Lucy and Faith real quick. Okay, Joshua. Yes, I called you by the River Shane version of Joshua. I'm going to say I applauded you for this story because it was very interesting to me that it was a deja vu. The fact is that, you know, with Lucy, and we finally, and I kept saying this, we all, actually all of us on this phone and all you guys that are listening, you are a certain age. But when you were younger, you wanted to hang out with the older kids. Like, you wanted to be not the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to be the baby of the group. You wanted to hang out with the older kids because the older kids got to do a lot more than you did. Okay. That's Lucy. Lucy is 14, 15 years old. She's at that age where she wants to be mature. So the fact is that from what we're gathering here, is she didn't have a lot of friends. At the same time, this is the same girl who bought a $200 bracelet. Real quick, I love all of y'all on this show, but I'm not getting y'all a $200 anything. Y'all better be glad I'll give y'all something for $20 at a McDonald's McBurger or something, okay? But the thing is, like, she wanted to spend $200 on a bracelet for Faith. She wanted to go and hang out with Faith to the point that Faith was, like, asking, what can I do to not hurt this girl? Because you don't want to hurt somebody who's looking up to you and whatnot.
No, you don't.
But she doesn't know what to do with Lucy, and clearly Lucy is feeling a certain type of way, so she's turned to alcohol. But the comparison was that this is Cassie all over again. Because remember, Cassie
went
to hang out with Sierra, Lily, and all of them, and we see what happened. So we have a situation where Lucy is very, she tries to be popular via the drinking, which Faith knows about. Because remember, Faith was going through her own little trauma where the kids were teasing her, and she turned to alcohol. Apparently, y'all just think alcohol is just like an interesting thing. But so Faith is probably is like, okay, I can relate to her on some level, but it's getting to that point where it's like, girl, you just texted me 14 times. I just told you I can't go outside. I can't do this because you're
14. My friend, you know, like, so.
Right.
But now we have, like, it was an accident, an accident that happened. And Faith, you know, Sharon and Nick got called, and Daniel and Heather got called, and it's sort of a deja vu. What do we think about this? Anybody can go first.
Anthony, why don't you take that one?
Okay, I want to step back for 1 second. I'm going to answer that in just a second. I do want to step back and say I actually am a fan of the Sharon storyline at the moment. Almost the rest of the show is driving me absolute insane. But I am actually a fan of the Sharon storyline. And if it goes, if these two storylines intersect the way I think they're about to, all right, cool. I'm just like, no, but we're stuck with it. Go ahead, David, because I'm just like, no.
Yeah, I like the Sharon plot, too. I'm really interested in it, especially the part with her. At this point, I can't tell if she stopped taking her meds or she just started taking her meds or they're still working. That's the only part I can't keep up with sometimes. But I know that she's seeing Cameron, she's seeing Cassie. But today she's telling Faith that she can see Cameron and she sees Cassie. So I'm wondering if maybe...
Oh, I didn't see today yet, so thank you.
Yeah. She told Faith that, yeah. So I'm wondering if she's back on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that before the accident, Faith caught Sharon talking to Cameron.
Benny.
Benny, silence. Benny, you got questions?
Are you following all this? You're just taking it in.
I'm taking it in. I haven't watched really anything but GH because I don't have the time to really sit down and watch it all.
Right.
Well, as far as I'm concerned right now, they need to really reverse course in a bunch of places. Okay, Adam, it's not working. Like, let's finish this one up. Let's close this one out. As far as the accident, no, I'm not okay. Candace.
Real quick, we have some special breaking news from the Take-Two news station. That's Candace Mack. We just got word that our friends at After Forever, the series, and I'm going to read exactly what was said just now. Today, you'll get the drift, right? Okay. Today. After Forever, episode 301, Where Do I Begin, is now officially, season 3, is now being released on Vimeo. That's V-I-M-E-O, okay? One episode a day, Monday through Thursday this week and next week. So we're going to get 4 episodes each week, okay? But you can now catch the final chapter of the Emmy-winning series. The fastest way is to go to afterforeverthesseries.com or search for it on the app. So I just wanted to go ahead and promote that After Forever, the series, is now officially out. Back to you in the newsroom.
Awesome.
Great news.
All right.
Good luck. Good luck, Kevin. Come back and talk to us again.
Yeah, for real.
You were gonna explode now on the accident.
I mean, I've been saying for a long time that there was going to be an accident to happen.
You
because
have.
They've been talking about Cassie's death for so long. And the fact that you have Sharon's daughter, Phyllis's grandchild, Daniel's daughter, Sharon's kid, right? It's all deja vu all over. Like, this whole thing has been a deja vu.
Yep.
Here's the problem, though. It's like, all right, you're going to give me this. But I'm going to ask the question, why? Why do we have to do this? Like, at first, I was like, okay, this is going to be real interesting because it should be explosive history. Like, Daniel explaining to Lucy what happened. You know, like, because Lucy's like, Dad, are you responsible for Faith's sister dying? Like, what's going on? Like, you didn't even play none of those beats.
Okay, Candace, I got to jump in here for a second because they have shoved this down our throat how many different times now? Billy Adam, we've revisited this story so many times. It is not going to play the way you want it to play because we've already been through all the dynamics and now you want to take it to the next generation. And I kind of get the idea of it, except no. There are so many other stories you could have told. This one's not going to bring it out the way you want to because you put us through this how many different times?
But I think it's going to be different. Okay, at first I was like, okay, you have the fact that Daniel's daughter does not know about what happened with Kathy. You have it where Sharon and Daniel both are kind of uneased. Like, they're kind of like, okay, you know, this does feel weird that our daughters are friends, considering the history. You have it where Lucy finds out because she's crushing on Faith, right?
Yeah.
That she finds out that her father was responsible for Cassie's, you know, like not all the way.
She doesn't know that yet.
But my thing is that the way that the problem that Young and the Russells had was we didn't get to see that. We were told.
We were told it. Yeah.
We were told. Instead of seeing that dynamic,
the impact of it. Yeah.
Right. So it was like you robbed us of that. At the same time, it is kind of like okay, so. Because I thought for sure that it was going to be where Lucy did something to Faith or Faith, you know, or something like Lucy was going to be at fault or somehow Sharon was going to be at fault and all this stuff. But again,
I thought it was going to be Sharon too. Yeah. Yeah.
My question is, why are we doing this storyline? And I'm going to just go there. I'm sorry, you guys. I gotta do my rant. I haven't done a rant on Young and the Russells in a very long time. So please bear with me.
I'm hoping. What we're waiting for is coming, because Sharon is. But with Sharon's condition teetering back and forth like that, this is supposed to make probably gonna, you know, send her over the edge.
Here's my problem.
You would
with
think.
This is my problem.
You would think.
Yeah.
Josh. You have 5 storylines right now on this show that is surrounding a mental health situation, okay?
Yeah.
Let me just say this for the people in the back. You're no Charles Pratt and Jill Phelps. And I know that's going to sting considering some things that happened behind the scenes. But my problem is that you can't retell a story that's already been done. I love you, Sharon Case. You know I do. You know I love you. Do-do-do-do-do-do. You know that. But literally, this is the Charles Pratt storyline from years ago.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. I guess they like having Sharon Case play the crazy or the titillated, medicated person on the show. It's not working for me. At first, I was like, okay. But then I was like, okay, we're going deep down there. Now, yeah, the only thing that came out of it is Lyndon Nasby. Hey, again, Lyndon didn't know you were going to stay on the show for a little bit. You gave me Cameron as her conscience. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And not for nothing. I see chemistry. I know I'm not supposed to. I get it. But to me, outside of things, what are we doing here? What are we doing, Josh? talk to me. Tell me. Come on the show and talk to me. Legit. Like, what is the point of you doing this storyline? Because there's only one thing I can think of, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. I feel as though, like, you're going to have her gun after Daniel to justify Cassie's death. But again, Cassie has been gone how long now? Are we about to hit 20 years?
Gee, about however old Mariah is, so, I mean.
Well, we got, wait, well, we got, there's a lot of
stories
right there.
Let me see.
Like 20 years, right?
20, yeah, 20. It's coming up 20 years.
Yeah. So, to me.
And she was, she's Lucy's age, so she was 14.
Yeah, so, like, to me, wait, I'm going to look this up real quick. So, yeah, 2005, we're about to hit 20 years.
Yep.
Next year will mark 25 years. I mean, 20 years, May 24th. So, to me, are you trying to set that up? Because if so, then I'm going to y'all going to have to sit me down and explain to me. Like, again, we understand Cassie's death caused, and we're still seeing the aftermath, because if it wasn't for Cassie's death, we wouldn't have Summer.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know where we're going at this. Josh, come on now.
I'm like, we're stuck in the mud a little bit.
I'm in deja vu land.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, this story has been told from a couple of different perspectives for 20 years now. It just doesn't, you know, it doesn't click anything.
But we all knew there was going to be an accident. We knew something was going to happen. You know, Josh, you've been watching old school GH thing. And when I say old school, I mean a couple of months ago. Meaning you literally crafted a storyline, but then it was like, wah, 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 wah. But then again, Josh, I have a theory about why you did that. I'm going to wait till everybody else talks about the other storyline, because I put two and two together the other night. I was like, yeah, Josh, I know what's going on now. I now know. I can get you now. I get it. I understand. Yes, I did. So, where y'all want to take this? What's your storyline y'all want to talk about? I'm just like.
Oh,
okay, Victor.
It's hard.
Go ahead, Candace. Victor.
I love Eric Braden. I love Victor Newman. But this is so. So Victor is trying to teach everybody a lesson.
Again.
Yep.
And using Jill's condition to get at Billy and Chance, like for Chancellor, because he wants to make sure Catherine's legacy is intact, and because Nikki's going to be running it.
He does and believe in her, doesn't she?
I'm so over this storyline. Y'all, okay, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm so over. And I know it's important for Young and Restless, because Young and Restless has always been the Newman Enterprise and Jabot and Chance and Industry. And then it became Hamilton Winters. Then we had Restless Style. Then we had DC Buzz. Okay. My thing is that y'all have taken this far too long for me to, I just don't care anymore. I don't care about Giselle. I don't care about, Louis Buchanan, Demure, Corey Pupcations. I don't care about the takeovers. I don't care, Diane and Jack, that you every time I hear y'all names, I think about his story about Jack and Diane. I don't care. Kyle, you're an idiot, because you know that once Victor is done with you, you are done.
He's done with you.
You're done. What are we doing with Nate other than having him sexing up Audra, which I do not mind. But at the same time, I do mind because, again, Audra, once Victor is done with you, where do you think you're going at?
Unemployment.
That's the least of their problems.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, and then Billy over there, this is my legacy. I knew, baby, your legacy was Ruffler Style, okay? Because Jabo was already established. Your mama was married into the family. The last time I checked, Jill, and I love you, you have not been a Jill Abbott in a very long time. Stop using that name and use your government name, which I do not believe is Fenmore. But you
wait. Wouldn't her latest last name be Colin?
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who you. Yeah. That's who you is, Jill.
Colin.
But baby, if you want to go back to Foster, go for it. Do it. Cause that's who you are. That's who
yep.
you will always be. But then you got Billy. You know, I just feel as though I need to prove myself to the family. Sweetie, so by you proving yourself, that means you take over somebody else's hard work?
Yeah, I don't get him.
I mean,
him.
You can't even do, you, like, sometimes, like what Lily said, Jabo, because let's not forget, Jill appointed Lily to oversee you, Billy. Like,
okay, I'm sorry. First off, I do have to say this. Jason Thompson, you are the best. Because
sure
you, you know with
yep.
with the way they write Billy, where we are right now, Jason Thompson, man, you Emmys, you just need, but there's nothing worthy. Okay, sorry, I'm not gonna say that. Your whole entire life, Billy, has been a series of almost getting there, screwing up, scraping yourself off the floor, stealing from your brother, almost getting there, screwing up, stealing from your brother again, hiding behind mommy's skirts. Yeah, like, dude, yeah, you need to learn, bro. You need to learn. Like, look back at your past experiences and who you are. So over it. Except it is Jason Thompson, so I'm not that over it that I want him to, like, be killed off the show. I just want them to go back to the Billy of, like, 2.5 years ago where he had actually processed all of who he had been up to this point and understood.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it just disappeared and he's back to this Billy again. Sorry, I had to get that out, Candace.
Hey, go for it.
It's okay.
It's painful because it's like, okay, Billy is like so gung-ho, right, about working at a company that's already been established instead of going out with yourself. So like Lily said, every time you touch something, it goes down the drain. And that goes for you too, Adam Newman. You keep doing your daddy's dirty work and everything. And then when you was asked, you know, you talked about Jack. Yeah, Jack was more of a father figure to you than Victor ever was. But at the same time, when Victor says, Adam, I want you to run such and such. Okay, Daddy. Okay, Daddy. And then when Victor pulls the wool, you know, pulls the rug up from you, oh, I don't understand why my daddy didn't want me to do all this. Da, 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 da. You and Billy, I keep saying, look, y'all rockers just do it. They did it before. Do it again. Billy and Adam can work together.
They can't, and I'm going to tell you why, Candace, because honestly, it is exactly what you said. Adam is the wounded puppy, the puppy whose owner kicks him, yells at him, is a very bad puppy owner, and the puppy just keeps coming back with the loving wagging tail. That is the dynamic, and every time you put that with Billy, it's going to explode. No, they cannot work together.
No.
And Adam is going to keep, he's going to keep falling for it. He's so wired that he has to have that attention. He has to have that place. He's just going to keep falling for it. That part at least has been consistent. However, oh my God, I'm so tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's
all right.
Too much business.
For time's sake, we've got to move on to the next soap. And I'm gonna request General Hospital because honestly I am so behind on days. General Hospital.
What do you think?
Me?
Yep. Is it coming together for you?
I feel like, you know, that old nursery rhyme, or fairy tale, whatever, you know, the person that wanted to make soup. So he put rock in the pot, and then somebody brought carrots, somebody brought rabbit, you know, and then all of a sudden there was a big feast. They're throwing everything they can in the pot, but it is not turning into stew. Okay. I will start with this. Nina and Ava. Oh my God. No. And oh my God, what are you doing to Ava? I don't know who Ava fell into the Elizabeth portal. I don't know who Ava is anymore. Candace?
I really don't want to talk about that storyline because I'm going to be honest with you. No offense to Cynthia and to Mara West. I love both of y'all. But this is not my cup of tea. I'm going to wait until my cup of tea is ready. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Next. I'm doing the not so painful ones for a moment, but they're all painful. Anna,
I gotta disagree. I don't see anything painful
about Anna.
Anna always rubs me the wrong way. I could understand that being painful.
Okay, so history with Anna is Anna has always been the badass. You know, on the line, this wishy-washy Anna, judgmental Anna, that this is not the character that we've known for the lifespan of that character. I see how this – no, I don't. I don't like the storyline at all. Like, wrap it up. We're done. It's been too long. It's gone into so many different directions. However, the exception to that is – find whatever way to redeem Brennan. You know, that I am very there are so many different places, and Brennan and Tracy definitely need to spar. Kate, I didn't like the character in the beginning. I didn't like the character in the middle, and I don't like the character now. If this is a who killed John Jagger Kate setup, thank God, get him off quickly. Candace, you want to weigh
He was a good find, though.
He was a
when
good
started,
find, but there was nothing good in the way this character was written. I went along for the storyline. You know, like back in the day when they brought on the Balkan, that was a really bad storyline, but they ended up entertaining us, and there were a lot of good moments along the way, and I kind of felt like that's what they were going to do with him, but at every turn, they missed opportunities, and now there's nothing left. You got to kill him, is my opinion.
Here's the problem. You made him too heavy on Sonny, and you forgot his past. Because here's the thing. Karen and Jagger, for those who don't know, before Jagger's return to Night Shift, when Port Charles was a thing, Jagger and Karen were already divorced, and he already had another kid. You keep going back to saying Karen, Bobana, Banana, you know, stuff like that. But they weren't together. This whole thing about Sonny, and see, this is the problem that also is with the whole Jason thing. I love Maurice Bernard, but the Sonny character is destroying a lot of these characters that have such potential. Because I was all for John Cates. See, I now have been able to call him that. He had potential, but you just made him so one-sided about Sonny that it's ruined the character for me. And I agree.
Yep.
Bye. Bang, bang, shoot, shoot.
He had potential. Now, if the Young and the Restless scoop him up and give him a good character, you know, God bless. But, you know, all that, you placed us in a space where he's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's get into it, Candace. I have to say, these scenes, Molly, Christina, Alexis, you know. Oh, okay.
Let's do it.
Oh! Now, I have really not liked much of this storyline. You know, we still, there may be another baby out there in the ether. Let's not forget about that, General Hospital. Yeah, there's so many dangling stuff, but oh my God. I was on the edge of my seat. Those scenes were so good. They were so dynamic.
Weren't they?
Huh?
They were awesome. I was telling Candace earlier that Kristen had me in tears.
She came out of like a birthday cake with tassels on. She was so good.
Yeah. I'm gonna get Vinny's take before I go and say something. Vinny, what did you think about it?
I absolutely loved those scenes, and I did put out a post on Twix about it that monologue that Molly cut on Christina. Now, I love the character of Christina. I like the character of Molly. I know that, you know, Christina is a chip off the old block. She's just like her father in many, many ways. And I put out a post, and for those of you who are wrestling fans, that promo that Molly cut on Christina was like Owen Hart kicking Bret Hart in the leg at Royal Rumble 94. It was absolutely fantastic. You could feel the emotion on both the characters' face. And I, for a minute, that maybe TJ was going to be a little sympathetic towards Christina. Like almost like maybe she was having a panic attack or something. Wanted to check her out, you know, medically or whatever. But then when Rick said, Molly, let's get you out of here, you know, she said that she wasn't leaving without TJ. Then he's like, he stood up and he had to take care of his wife and go and whatever it's called, their civil partnership or whatever. And I thought those scenes were great. Now, the one thing I do question is when, you know, granted all those characters are grieving and they're all grieving in their own ways and emotions are high. What I'd like to see eventually is the truth come out where Christina tells Molly that the only reason why the papers were drawn up were in case TJ and Molly broke up so that Molly had some kind of visitation or whatever with the baby. That's the only reason why Christina was going to go for custody. But if everything stayed with the status quo, she wasn't going to do it because, theoretically speaking, if anything happened, Molly had no parental rights. So I hope it comes out, but I'm loving this entire dynamic. And it's going to be Rick Sunny 2.0 between Molly and Christina at this point.
Okay.
Yep.
So let me just say this. This story is this part of the surrogacy storyline is Elizabeth and Kathy. I'm going to say that. When I saw this, okay, General Hospital, I'm going to say what you did. Because this was trending on Soap Twitter. TJ and Molly was trending for the weekend, okay? This was interesting to me. This story, after the fall, became General Hospital. You have, because we've been saying for a long time, Christina and Molly needs to have that civil rivalry that comes in the you know, Matthew and George and the Quartermain boys, Nicholas and Lucky and all that. This surrogacy storyline in the beginning sucked for me because I felt as though they should have shelved it because we were on a recast and a recast, right? If Lexi and Haley, and I'm going to throw this out there in a minute about them, those two. If it was them, then yeah, obviously, you know. But you literally had Kate and you had recast number one, recast number two, and recast number three. There was a lot of things with the surrogacy storyline that did not connect with me. There was no emotional pull for me. Okay.
Yeah.
And
there was no familiarity.
It was like you didn't even show me TJ and Molly and Christina or Christina and Molly bonding over the baby. Because remember when Blaze, by the way, Jack, hey, girl, we'll talk later. Okay, I love you. I'm seeing more opportunities for you.
Yeah, we will.
We will definitely see you soon, girl. But you had it where Christina and Blaze was, like, talking about if the baby was theirs and stuff like that. Okay, so you already planted the seed that Christina might have wanted that kid for herself. But, again, there was something missing. After the fall, I was like, okay, GH, I'm going to put my trust in you, which I don't really do often. And I said, let's go. Let's go.
Yep.
Let me tell you right now. The young lady who plays Molly,
Kristen Vaganos.
Kristen Vaganos.
Kristen Vaganos.
Let me tell you something. What we witnessed, we saw a star.
Yep.
We saw a star.
Yep.
You hear me? We saw an Emmy reel. We saw Todd. Todd has been on the show for a very long time. We finally have seen him, like, 5 years. We've now seen him with the material. It's really interesting to me that this is the most we got with TJ and Molly. But look at, because, again, at first they was making it Sunny and Ava. But now we've taken that, and we now have it where it's Christina and Molly, TJ and Molly and Christina. Because, baby, let me tell you, when Molly put two and two together about Christina going over there to provoke Ava,
yep.
Molly stopped thinking like a sister. She started thinking like a DA.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing is that, and I'm sorry, and I agree with Molly, because I felt like saying some other things too. Christina has always been protected by Sonny and Alexis. And so
yep.
I was like, here we go. I was like, we're about to get it popping. Because now... And then TJ goes over. See, this was the smartest thing I've ever seen the soap do. TJ goes over to confront Ava. I don't want to hear what everybody else is telling me. I want to hear straight from your mouth what happened.
Yep.
Like, tell me right now what happened. Because, you know, everybody else would have been like, well, yeah, Ava. Because everybody was gunning for Ava. Then you have Christina, you know, when you had Jordan was like, they want to take my baby? My granddaughter? My grandchild? Oh, no. So now we got, I'm like, oh, my God, we got Jordan in this. So then you go ahead, and then it's like everybody is on Christina's side, but not enough people is on TJ and Molly's side, especially Molly. Mm-hmm. Molly felt like alt man out. And I'm going to say this, General Hospital fans, I know that it was kind of like you didn't understand this. But TJ and Molly have been a couple for 10 years now.
Yep.
It's been longer than a decade. They had a civil union. The only two things that were so dramatic in their lives was TJ slept with Felix's sister and that Molly got some from Brando. By the way, hashtag for Johnny. Justice for Johnny.
Wait. TJ slept with who?
Phyllis's sister.
Yeah.
Probably.
Wait a minute, did they actually sleep together? I don't remember.
Yeah, because here's the thing. This is where, okay.
I remember that Molly had the hots for Rafe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis's
mm-hmm.
sister? I'm trying to think who Phyllis is. That's what.
Phyllis.
You know Phyllis.
Nick and Paul.
Phyllis. Felix.
Oh.
Felix.
Felix.
Samantha Dubois.
Oh, all right.
Hey, Mark. Hope you're listening.
Thank you.
But anyway, So it was always a theory that maybe Felix's sister was knocked up with TJ's baby, came to town, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like they're talking about babies, and then TJ has a son of his own. But they didn't do that. Then they went ahead with Molly, and she sleeps with Brando. I was thinking we're going to have a knock-up storyline. We didn't get that. So now it's like, all right, you have this storyline. You have the right beat, because the thing is that when I heard about this storyline, to be honest, I had to be like, we're going to have a custody battle, because you're right. Tactically speaking. And sadly, I have two
it's
friends
Christine
who
are actually, child.
Yes, I have two friends who are going through this right now. It would have been a matter of, but the only thing is Alexis could not be the lawyer, couldn't represent neither one of them because that would be conflict of interest.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even have Diane do it because of conflict of interest. You could have had Scotty as Serena Baldwin. I'm gonna let it go. Let it go, Candace. Let it go. I'm gonna let it go.
Girl, they ain't never bringing her back.
Let me just have this moment, please. Look, so far, I don't know. I'm gonna question GH for a minute. But then it's like, okay, you have all these beats, but there's something else missing. So now we're here. We're here. The baby's dead. Christina's being blamed. Christina's wilding out. Molly is like, what the hell? And then you bring perhaps the best surprise of them all, the best thing about the storyline, Rick Lansing.
Mm. Yeah, I got some palpitations too. I did.
Here's the thing. Rick hasn't been on the show in for 8 years, right?
That's right. Well, about.
How is it that he came on day one and it felt like he's been on the show for a long time?
That's probably his
That's
style.
Rick.
Jumped in. You would literally thought Rick has been on the show the way, first and foremost, him and Kristen has amazing father-daughter chemistry.
Yes.
One.
Yeah.
Two, Rick Hurst knows how to keep a presence even when the scene isn't about him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Look, I'm just right. Because when he went to Alexis and Nancy and him still got it too, he was like, yeah, I'm outside with our daughter. She was alone. I'm like, shade. And not for nothing, I saw some coming with Jordan and him. I'm not saying anything, but I lived through Jordan that day. Anyway, so then you got Christina. And here's the thing about Kate Manson. Look, for us who watched her on Days of Our Lives,
yep.
We all know what her strength is as an actress. Yeah, she could play Virgil, innocent, and everything. But where she really shines is cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puff.
Yep.
And
I'm just saying. And that's the thing about Christina. Christina is seriously, we got to also think about her bloodline. Alexis has a little cuckoo crazy in her. She is a Casanova. Mm-hmm. Sonny has some cuckoo crazy. He, you know, like Christina is both of them, right? So her falling out, her saying you guys were going to name the child without me, again, that means, and again, this is a real reaction. When you're doing a surrogacy storyline, sometimes the surrogate parents do want to, like the person that's carrying the child wants to be included in every ounce of this whole process. But there needs to be a boundary, set boundaries. So when they came up with the names, I was like, oh, Lord. She was like, you named that child without me. And then she's falling out at the funeral. We always have that one sibling, don't we, that always falls out somewhere. And be like, are you for real? Like, seriously, this isn't even about you. And so when she was doing all that, and then at the same time, what made me really happy, and this is why I said, I think some people who really watched the show, they forgot. TJ and Molly are a thing, which means Molly's other, like TJ's family has already welcomed Molly into their homes, into their lives. So it was nice
that
she had them instead of nobody. And the thing is, Christina, TJ and Molly were still going to be together regardless of what you thought, especially when she said, I'm not leaving without TJ. Then on top of that, when
when Molly got on Alexis and talked about favoritism, I'm like, you know what? I've been calling it for years. But, yeah, Alexis, guess who you're turning into? Your mama. You are turning, like, but I'm going to say this. What I saw this week, these last couple of weeks, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid. Y'all going to be like, Candace, no, don't say it, but I'm going to say it. This is what happens when you give other players the spotlight to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because, again, yes, you had Maurice, you had Mara, you had Nancy Lee Grant, you had Lindsay Hartley. Hey, girl, you had Kelly Monaco. You had, other people. But, again, at the end of the day, there was two people who really shone in the storyline. Kate Manson, I got to give you your flowers, too. But it was Krista and it was Taj.
Yep.
And if we're going to really go there, again, the character of the week, of this month for me, the one that I better see
Great.
Her name on that Emmy ballot was Krista, because she showed up.
Yep.
And she is, I'm going to say it, she now owns that role. She owns it.
She does. She took it home with her.
Yep.
And she's hiding it.
She took it and ran, because here's the thing, and this is not a dig, okay? This is trust and belief, because we do this all the time. Yes. With Christina and Molly, we've had recasts before for Christina. Haley will always be our little Molly.
Right.
You hear how I preface that, right? She will always be our little Molly. Lexi will always be, and it's not a dig, our fan fave. However, if I'm going to be honest, I cannot see neither one of them in the role right now with the story.
Exactly. Line. Yep.
I have to say this, earlier on, as this was coming up, my thought process would have been, I can see Haley pulling this off, but I don't see Lexi pulling it off, not this direction. But then we got the confrontation, we got Daddy's Girl, we got all that, and I said, no, she just took Molly and put it on like the skin suit from, Hannibal Lecter. That's her character now. Yeah. I think we got to go two more places before we go to Days, and we're running out of time. But I just have to say, I love Tracy and Cody.
Yes.
I love that whole interdynamic, figure out something with Sasha. I'm going through this real quick because I'm building up to, I don't know who Lucy is anymore, but I still don't want to not see Lucy. So we're okay, Steph. Thank you for revitalizing Maxinista, Miss Maxie.
Yeah.
I am so in love with her now.
Mm-hmm.
I am so in love with her now. And then, of course, Lulu. Vinny, you haven't had a lot of time to talk tonight, so talk about Lulu and talk about, Maxinista and Tracy and Cody.
No, I am loving the new direction for Tracy. I have been, I think the friendship that she built with Gregory really changed her, and she's coming more into a real mixture of both of her parents. Where she's still a shrewd businesswoman like Edward was as a businessman, but she's also developing that softness that Lila had with her own snark to it, like her saying there's so many kids running around.
And when she was talking to James. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. She's got a much softer side to her now, which I really am enjoying. And Jane Elliott could have chemistry with a broomstick. I am enjoying that. I'm happy to see, that Lulu is coming back. I know that originally Frank had said that he didn't want anybody else for the role but Julie Berman, which of course brought people into an uproar when M. Ryland said that she wasn't offered to even come back. So they recast Lulu, and she'll be back soon, apparently. You know, she's obviously back in GH because of a liver problem. I'm wondering how that's going to play out and when she actually wakes up from the coma. But I'm really liking, I like that scene with Maxie and Lulu, or, you know, Lulu's hand, you know, on Friday's episode of, you know, she does her nails and, you know, she talks to her, and just when Dante was watching over, you know, kind of just walked in and heard, you know, Maxie talking to Lulu about, you know, you have people that need you and Dante needs you as well. I love that. And just Maxie in general, you said it, they revitalized her, you know, the whole, she came out of the whole, struggling to pay her bills and all that kind of stuff, which in reality, you know what, it was a realistic storyline that many people could relate to now. I get it. I understand it. I liked it, but it wasn't, it was painting her more of, well, crap, I have to, you know, she has to raise three kids on her own. Granted, Spinelli's there, but, you know, she has to raise three kids on her own. She's struggling. And it just, it wasn't a real soap star, but it's something that people could relate to.
Yeah, and they did.
But now that she's, you know, in charge of deception, and the way that Talia went to her and said, listen, you're in charge, I'm here to support you, I loved it. And she just has been able to take control of deception and really show that she's a leader. Absolutely. I'm enjoying it.
David?
I'm enjoying all the sides of Tracy, how she gets along with just about everyone that comes along in her path. Started with Gregory and Chase and worked its way over to Brooklyn and all of that. I mean, she's become Violet. Oh my God. How she reacts to all that. And James and the kids. She says that she doesn't like all the kids, but she gets along with them all, and she's just, I'm just enjoying all of that part. But I did have a question for you, Anthony, in particular. How am I going to phrase this? Knowing that you are part of the LGBTQI community, does Natalia's character offend you?
I am going to say this. I do not represent the LGBTQIA plus community as a whole. I'm going to say this. It offends me in the spaces where it's offensive. But there are people out there that are like that in this world, and so much worse. So it could be better written, yeah. Would it be shocking if it were better written? Yeah. My biggest push to the soaps that remain is stop being so scared and actually write some really edgy storylines. That this one could have been one of them. It isn't. Overall, no, it doesn't offend me to have that character on canvas, because if that character exists in real life. Thank you for asking me that.
I would. And my question to all of you is, and I got this from 10th Floor, do you think Natalia is that character who was brought on the canvas to instruct the audience on tolerance?
I think so.
Yeah. I think so, and I think they played with chemistries to see how far they would go with that piece of it, if there was any chemistries that really stood out for them to go with, and none of them did. And so they went full force with the storyline. kudos to them, though, for weaving enough in where she's relevant without Blaze. Not happy with the Blaze decision. You know, not happy with it. It is what it is. And interesting about the way they're going to bring in Lucky. Candace,
all
it's
right.
Your turn, honey. Oh, go ahead, Ben. I thought you were done, Ben. Sorry.
I want to kind of build off. If Candace wants to go just about, you know, what we've been talking about, you know, go right ahead. But I kind of wanted to build off about what you said about being unhappy, you know, with the Blaze decision. Because I'm with you, and I'm seeing the discord on Twitch that, you know, there's so many vocal minority people out there that, and by vocal minority, I mean minority in terms of representation of General Hospital
we
viewers.
Get it.
Not,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I get it, Ed, I'm very upset with the fact that they kind of let Blaze go early and, you know, abruptly. But I do have an idea of what might be happening, which kind of softens the blow, in my opinion. But, you know, Candace, you can go on and talk about Lulu, Maxie, and whatever, and kind of wrap that situation up if you'd like to.
Okay, let me just say this. In my opinion, I think they, and it's always, Eva, girl, you know I love you. You know that. Like, when you was on Fuller House, I was happy to see you as the new Tanner, and then they dropped you. And then when you was on Young and the Restless, I was like, oh, shoot, you and Peter Berg are going to work together. They dropped you.
Uh-huh.
Then I was like, you coming on the Bold and the Beautiful in my head as a new fashion designer. But that didn't happen because it was all in my mind. You know, y'all know what I meant. The thing is that I think they brought her on. But I think they just brought her on, and at that time they didn't have a purpose for her.
Yep.
They just had her because of name recognition. This is just me saying this. At first I was like, could she be Pikeman? Could she be Pikeman's wife? Because she was close by with Sonny. And then I'm like, okay, they're making it a point to have her not be supportive of her daughter. And this is where I was like, okay, Nathan Varney, Frank, and all of y'all, I want to remind you that this is not One Life to Live. And I had to say that because I was getting a real deja vu. However,
yep.
When you take a look at it, this is a soap opera. Not everything is raindrops, gummy bears, and lollipops. There's people out there in the world that is like her. But the thing that got it was the whole Sonny point of view. It's like,
yes,
this woman is bashing your daughter. Mm-hmm. And by the way, writers of all, and to the fans, I know what happened on social media. And I do fault that the writers do sometimes forget Christina is a bisexual, okay?
Yep.
But in that dialogue, she was gay. So, you know, that's a whole different story for another day. But with this storyline, with everything, I'm just like, I just didn't know where they were going at with it. And I still don't know where they're going at with it, especially because Blaze is out.
I've got an idea about that.
But I will say this, considering the stuff, again, there's stuff that we know that we can't talk about, but we do know there's some things, you know. But I will say this, for the quickness of it all, the fact that she tied it into Miguel, to Ricky Martin's character, I was like, let me find out Ricky Martin's coming on General Hospital. Let me find out he's coming on one episode. I was like, she begs, living a Vista Loca. We don't have the right to all that. But I was like, I was excited. I was like, yeah. You know, like, but I mean, they left it open-ended. So, you know, so there may be a one-day possibility, but I was like, Dad, y'all did this in the midst of the Katrina storyline. I was like, damn.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean.
All right, Vinny, what's your theory that will keep her here?
My theory is this. So Kate Manzi's been pretty vocal on Twitch reiterating the fact that the Christina character is bisexual. Obviously, the past two relationships that she's had have been women, which, you know, whatever the case is, you know, being that she's attracted to both genders. So when it comes to this, we see that Lulu's coming back. We see that Lucky's coming back. I have a feeling, and Angela kind of pointed out to me on Suge News last week, what about Ethan? We know that Christina and Ethan had a very good, you know, friendship, you know, pointing towards a possible relationship in the past. I think that if Ethan does come back, Christina's going to a very dark place right now. And we've seen it. The fact that she asked Sonny to take care of Ava, and she's playing up the mob princess daughter at this point. I think that Ethan may be coming back and is going to be helping Christina in this dark period of her life. And if that's the case, they had to free up Christina away from Blade at this point. And you know what? Because Christina said something that was very telling when she kind of told Blade that she had to go on this tour. I don't know where we're going to be in the future. I need some time. We don't know where we're going to be going forward. And I think that means that there's something else in the pipe for Christina, and they know where it's going, so they had to free her up. I want Blaze to come back at some point, especially as Jacqueline Grace Lopez portraying her, because I think it was really shitty to, you know, get rid of her abruptly. But I want to see where this is going if the idea that Ethan is coming back as well, especially with Holly coming back too. I want to see that explored. So that kind of softens the blow for me.
All right, Candace, anything GH we haven't touched on before we jump over to Salem?
Real quick, Lucky. Lucky Smith is back. Lulu.
Oh,
Lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. GH, I kind of wish you didn't tell me Johnson Jackson was coming back. I'm going to tell you why. I feel as though you and Days of Our Lives have diarrhea of the mouth. I know, I understand we're going through a reset with General Hospital. Their new season starts in September on ABC, home of ABC. Okay. You got the website selling the stuff from Deception. Okay, that's cute. That's great. Seen it before. Fusion. You got Rick Hurst back. God, he's on. Damn, man. You dropped storylines because we don't have the time of day. You're bringing people back. I wish you didn't tell me Jonathan. I wish it was a surprise. And here's the thing. As somebody who likes Jonathan Jackson, who likes Lucky Spencer, let me paraphrase this real quick and say this. In the 5 minutes that he came on Friday and today's episode, I don't want to be shady, but I'm going to say it. It was better than the previous return we saw this year.
Better?
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Better. Yeah. Better, better. Better, better. As Barbara Streisand says, better, better. And he's a legacy.
But
I would say
in.
That too.
Yeah, it's kind
but
of.
But I am going to say this real quick, though. Yeah. It is time to stop bringing back characters that we should have heard from in some form of another or another. by having them needing to be rescued from some kind of, you know, hostage, whatever.
Well, come on, how many times do we have to go through this? Okay, but I'm going to say this. This is just Candace's opinion on this. I believe that this Lucky storyline is the recraft of the Jason storyline that got redlined from ABC and
Dot. Yep.
And I think they took the correct statements, you know, the corrections, you know, when you had your test and they told you to do this. I think that's what Chris and them did. They revised it to do with the Lucky thing. And it makes sense. See, you don't have to do too much, GH, but give me a solid story.
I'm going to tell you, though, Candace, it makes sense if they do it. If they change course four or five or even two times in telling this story, we're going to be let down and annoyed. It makes sense if they actually do it. Vinny? Fill us in on what's been happening on Days.
I couldn't tell you because I haven't watched.
Oh, all right. David, fill us in on what's been happening on Days.
Well, we know there's been a hit and run, more or less. Miss Fiona has hit Sarah, but she's trying to cover her tracks and keep the car hidden. But as we found out today, Kristen had taken the car. And is hiding it, and Brady thanked her for it. In the meantime, Jada has found proof that they're looking for a gray sedan, and Brady's telling Jada that his car was stolen.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
We have breaking news again.
More breaking news?
Yes. I feel like doing the whole from Take Two Radio News Headquarters. This is Candace Mack. Just been posted from Soap Opera News Network. Kelly Monaco is out of General Hospital.
Oh, no.
What?
No way.
No.
The article was just posted. Let me just read it here. After portraying the role of Sam McCall on ABC's General Hospital since October 2003, Soap Opera Network has learned exclusively that Kelly Monaco is departing the daytime series after the network decided to terminate her character.
Wow.
Sources also said that Monaco was blindsided upon learning of the decision.
They're trying to shut down General Hospital. Are you kidding me?
A final air date has not been known at the present time. Back to you in the newsroom.
Oh, I'm blindsided.
Wow.
I
have not liked the direction mostly that they have written Sam in for the last 2 years or so, but, you know, there's been glimmers of stuff that I have liked. Oof, this one hurts. Blind side.
I'm just going to say this right now. I am not going to go on social media right now. Well, no, too late.
I'm going to sleep on it. I'm not going on social media tonight.
I'm already on there. Sorry. Y'all know I
have to do that. Yeah, me too.
I'm on there right now. I'm going to give y'all real time here. And I'm going to say this, if you read the article, it's not going to...
Oh, wow. Moment of silence.
And with that, I don't even think we're down to the wire about Days. I think this is just going to, real quick with Dave, stay tuned for some crazy stuff, but I think this is just, this just put a whole set of things.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
And if you read the article, it does hint to what they're going to do with the character.
Just spoil it for us.
Okay, y'all ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
They're killing the character.
No way.
No.
Oh, come on. Is that... Wow.
Is that how they're getting rid of John Jacket Cates, too?
No word.
I've heard that.
No word.
No.
Oh, wow.
I'm just gonna
do this. To today's fans, we will be back in 2 weeks to talk about all the developments of that show, but this literally is the big breaking news of the soap world right now, is that Kelly Monaco, in case you didn't hear, Kelly Monaco is out at General Hospital. Stay tuned for more details. We'll repost when the news comes out. But this is such a this you know, we talk about things that really like kind of makes us not even want to talk. We're like stunned right now, and this is a stunned moment. This is a stunned moment.
Yeah, it is.
You know, she's been there for 2 decades.
They gave her no fanfare for her 2 decades, which really bothered me.
Yeah.
And there is so much story to tell. If they are bringing back Lulu, there is so much story to tell, but conveniently, let's just kill the character off in open arms.
We're going to need some more information, and this kind of came at the worst time, in a sense, of story and whatnot. But we will repost when we find out stuff. We'll repost it on our social media pages. I'm going to say this, Kelly Monaco, I've met you before. You're an Eagles fan. I'm a Patriots fan. We put our differences aside. I bless you with all the success because you are a talent. This is really hurting me a little bit right now. I'm about to cry.
Yeah, I
don't like the decision. I don't like this decision. I'm hoping that, you know, again, that they change their mind. I will say this real quick. I think it's been a thing that ABC was doing budget cuts. I don't know if this is a tie-in to it or not. Clearly, she was blindsided by this, as we all are. So with that being said, we will follow this story. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk more about it and to change our lives. Real quick, After Forever, the series is out right now. Go support it. Go support all the shows that are out there because Lord knows they're going to need it. And we will be back. Make sure you check out our previous episodes on Blog Talk Radio. So we will talk to you guys later. Lord, this is woo!
Yeah.
Lord,
good night, everyone. Absolutely. Good night, everyone.
Get connected with Take Two Radio on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio. For email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadio.com.